Grow Your Bottom Line, hosted by LaDawn Townsend, is a weekly podcast and business show. On this episode...
When it comes to that communication, what have you found that's been the most reward for you in this game-changing moment of communication?
I think watching people come together, especially when I reflect on my time as a CEO, there was so much division. There was so much that just people kind of wanted to stay stuck in certain areas. And through the power of just changing how we were communicating, like nothing else changed. There was no magical aha anywhere else. Like no one attended a seminar and was totally motivated and like transformed. It was like just changing that was really awesome to watch people grow together and lead together and bond together in a way that hadn't been done before. And, you know, there's a lot of skills that you have to build with that. It's not like the sole answer, but it is a really great place to start and watch teams come together when they're committed to that full style of communication in that way.
All coming up next.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back for another edition of the Grow Your Bottom Line podcast. I'm LaDawn Townsend, your host, CEO of the Boss Group, Chief Revenue Growth Strategist. That's enough about me because we have a guest on today that if you have not grabbed a pen and paper, you want to, because we have with us Heather Simpson, the amazing leader and founder behind She Leads Me. Heather, welcome to the podcast.
LaDawn, thank you so much for the invite. It was such an honor. I'm really thrilled to be here and speaking with you and your audience today. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Okay, so Heather, tell us about She Leads Me. How did that start? What do you guys do? Give us the secret sauce.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, She Leads Me came from a place where I was a CEO of a company that I helped start up and build and grow. And my board members and the owners of the company were five men. And in my growth process of becoming, I was a CEO by the time I was 30. So I really like had a lot of skill sets in different areas, but didn't have a lot of knowledge of what it really took to step into those shoes as a CEO. And really tried to find a lot of resources for myself as a female in that position. And so locally, I just really couldn't find it and had to really spread outward into different marketplaces to find the support that I needed as a female leader and really grow myself and really grow in my position as a CEO. And so at that time, the concept and the idea of She Leads Me kind of came to me to bring that to my area as kind of like a one day event, bring in all of these amazing women from all over the world that I'm meeting and bring them in to really empower women in that way. And then it just kind of slowly, I really grew out of that role that I was in and decided to leave and kind of do my own thing. And it took me a little bit of time, but then I decided to develop She Leads Me as a full-time business as opposed to just a one-day event and just really look to provide connection and community for women in our area and then provide ongoing education and support for women that are either growing their own businesses or are leveling up in leadership. And so that's kind of the short of it of where it came from and how we operate. And that's changed this year with, you know, our in-person gatherings and such, but we're just really looking to expand our impact and make sure that whatever the female leader is needing, that we're there to kind of meet them where they're at and help lead them on their journey and their path of their next evolved self.
Yes, I love that. So let's go back to the days of when you were at the helm of the CEO for another organization.
Yes.
In that growth period of getting into that role, what would you say are the top two or three things on the journey to get to CEO that now looking back, you would have liked to have a different or enhanced level of support for your own journey? And the reason I ask that is I think as leaders, especially those that are women leaders, there's not always the development at times for us personally to navigate that space. So we're trying to fit like a square peg in a round hole, mm-hmm. and we do it, right? We do it anyway. But right. some of us step back and say, I really wish I could have had this help or this book, or how do I navigate this? Is there anything that comes to mind for you that you, looking back, would have liked to have that type of support for your role?
Yeah, I think that just somebody pointing me in the direction of a lot of growing myself as an individual and what that looks like and how we grow in our mindset. And I kind of happened to stumble upon that through avenues of Google searches and the right podcast, and then was just kind of like followed the rabbit trail of clues of just trying to find what are other successful women doing? How are they leveling themselves up? And just became super curious about it and devoted all of my time to finding those answers. So it would have been really great if I would have had a mentor to kind of point me in the right direction and save some time for myself. Because, you know, there's so much information out there. It's also, you have to really be discerning about what you're taking in, because you have to make sure that, you know, there's that it's actually truthful and that it resonates with you and who you are as a leader. And it's really easy to kind of get locked into some things that maybe don't serve you, but you don't know any differently. So I really could have used just a mentor, which is what I was trying to seek out, and just kind of fell short a little bit. And probably a lot of that was also because I didn't really know exactly what I was looking for. I just knew that I needed more than what I had access to.
Yes. Yes. You're so right. And I think that discernment we get around who we should listen to, right? Because the wonderful thing about what the online space has brought is that we have resources as leaders. Mm-hmm. And what I feel is the downfall of what the online world has brought is we have so many voices that for those that are looking to navigate their career, it's how do you identify and find the voices in the sea of so much to do, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so many personal development books. And I remember going through my time in corporate. I mean, I started in banking before we had really pretty like color screens. It was like a green and black screen, like I'm dating myself a bit, but that's so there wasn't really a lot of personal developments. There were the big hitters out there like Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, Tony Robbins, but now we have so many. So talk with me about that discernment when it comes to who you should allow to pour into you, because I think the wisdom in doing that is that you'll find the right voice. Yeah. Versus how you and I can probably go through the books and the courses and all of the things we went through that you get into it. You're like, that's not my jam.
Yes, you know, totally. It's not for and then me. You feel like, wait, what's wrong with me? Because this has been so highly recommended by so many people. I should be really resonating with this. This should be the thing for me. And you can really have a lot of self-doubt when it comes to that. Like, what should resonate with me as a leader? And you know, that's such a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. And it's, I think, just a lot of continuing to try a bunch of different things until you really feel what really truly resonates with you. I can't even tell you how many podcasts I listened to before I nailed down like my top three, where I'm like, yep, these are three very different podcasts that over time, I am leaving feeling inspired. I'm leaving feeling like it's calling my inner leader out instead of feeling guilty or bad that I'm not doing something. And for me, that's where I found my alignment, was just like, what is really just calling me to be that higher level self? And the other stuff that wasn't serving me, but I kept like forcing myself to listen to or to read, I just eventually had to like put it to the side and go, maybe this isn't for me right now. It might serve me in the future. Who knows who I'll be in a month from now, a year from now, two years from now. So maybe that information will serve me later. For now, I'm really honing in on what is truly resonating and going all in on that. And just kind of drowning out the noise, right? There's been this kind of, I don't remember where I heard the quote initially, but we've been kind of recirculating this a lot, where it's the entire world is drowning in information, but starving for knowledge, right? So it's just, there's so much that can come at you, and you just really have to listen to that inner intuition and what just really is jiving with you so that you can just tap into that and then get rid of the rest of the distractions and the noise, because that's all that it is at that point.
You're so true. You're so spot on. And I love that you talked about your journey that you went on and as a CEO and working with the board. When it comes to that level of leadership and, you know, the board or even leaders that would come in to mentor you, or let's say we have a C-suite or a senior executive person listening and they see a team that has potential, maybe someone they want to groom to bring in, and they just aren't sure how to communicate and how to start. And we'll just use the example as women, because I think one of the things that's happened over the past few years is there's a heightened awareness that there needs to be conversations with leaders at all levels. And I believe that if you talk to a leader as a leader, whether they're man or woman, they're going to step up to the occasion. But there are times to where leaders need to learn how to effectively communicate in order to pour into those they want to groom. In your experience of being a CEO and, of course, running your own business as well, what could be some tips you give to a leader who communication may not be their strong suit? They think it is, but the feedback comes back, it's not.
Yeah. So there is this 3-part question that one of my mentors kind of gave me as a tool along the way. Because, you know, in that situation, I would say that I was the most skilled communicator, but I had to break it down for those that weren't in our setting. I was the one that was learning and growing. And then because of the dynamic and because of the industry specifically, it there was just a lot of really large personalities and ego that kind of got in the way. And so that framework, that kind of 3-part framework is think, feel, and need. So whenever you're approaching a situation, you make sure that you speak to each of those different things. This is what we think about the situation. This is how that feeling is affecting the people in our community or in our company or the leadership team or what have I need now. So really circulating all of that to the need. Oftentimes we only communicate the think part or the feel part. Mm-hmm. I think this, or you made me feel this way. And we don't round it out in that trifecta where we make sure that we have to speak to all 3 of those things. We speak about what we think, we speak about what is being felt, and then we also speak to what we really feel is the need in the situation, which has been the most game-changing communication tool that I have been given in all areas of my life. As a mom, as a CEO, as a partner, and it's just one that is like so key.
You got to talk about it. I love that. For those of you that are watching on videos, like Heather's face just totally lit up. It's almost like when you get the game-changing moment as a leader, it is like a refresh. It is like weights have been dropped. So when it comes to that communication, what have you found that's been the most reward for you in this game-changing moment of communication?
I think watching people come together, especially when I reflect on my time as a CEO, there was so much division. There was so much that just people kind of wanted to stay stuck in certain areas. And through the power of just changing how we were communicating, like nothing else changed. There was no magical aha anywhere else. Like, no one attended a seminar and was totally motivated and like transformed. It was like just changing that was really awesome to watch people grow together and lead together and bond together in a way that hadn't been done before. And, you know, there's a lot of skills that you have to build with that. It's not like the sole answer, but it is a really great place to start. And watch teams come together when they're committed to that full style of communication in that way.
Love that. So all of that skill set, that building the foundation, your career, what some people may say, well, the career, and then she has CEO and, you know, she's at the top. But you decided, no, I'm going to take a shift and create my own empire to where I want to be on the top of. Tell us about the moment that it just clicked for you that you said, I'm going to start She Leads Me.
Oh, so many moments led up to that. The initial concept and the idea of it was going to exist side by side in my role as a CEO, right? So it really came to a moment where, you know, we had been growing pretty rapidly as a company. When we first came together, there were 12 of us. And by the time that I left, there were 75. So we really, in 3 years, grew at a pretty rapid pace, and we're building some really amazing profits and all sorts of awesome wins and just new business in our area. It was just really awesome and spot on. And there came a moment, though, that as a leadership team, there were things that was just really hard to get everybody to come together on the same level. And I found myself in a situation where I was the only one going to seminars and finding books and trying to grow myself. And I was outgrowing the team. And I was really trying to bring everybody along. I kind of made that my mission and probably took too much responsibility in that and tried to get more help for the team for where my vision was, for where the growth was. And it just wasn't aligning. It just wasn't coming together. And so before I realized that She Leads Me was my answer, I sidestepped out to give myself some time. And I really didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that I could no longer be stuck in a situation that, you know, through a lot of things, and I can't really disclose everything, but it just became super toxic. And it was not a good fit for me anymore. And that was a really hard decision, because every single one of those 75 people I hand selected, right? It was like a family. Wow. It was I poured my entire life into it. And it was time for me to build my own foundation instead of building somebody else's. And so that's just kind of what it came down to, and just misalignment with values and principles. And, you know, even though it was an amazing experience, I would do it all over again. And I grew so much. Like it, you know, I didn't feel like I had arrived anywhere. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like, because I had become a CEO at such a young age, that was it for me. There was still a lot of things that were unfulfilled in that process and in that role, that I knew I could find elsewhere. And it only took me 9 months from there to figure out that was She Leads Me.
Awesome. So here you are, birth She Leads Me, went through an amazing corporate career, and now work with other women in business to help them with their company. Tell us more about what you do at She Leads Me.
Yeah, so She Leads Me provides support in a couple of different ways. In my one-on-one work with people, I will help consult them in their businesses. So a lot of businesses come to us that, I would say the majority of businesses are 5 years and younger. So a lot of people that are kind of just getting started, or they've hit some really exciting first steps of growth, but it's time to shift and it's time to change and it's time to really elevate themselves to the next level. And so I will sit with people, and I will, largely what we do is help them put together business plans. We help them really map out what their year is going to look like. And then we break it down into quarters, and we help them plan out how they're going to accomplish the goals that they have to accomplish. And we also do that in a way that speaks to the like entirety of the female. It's not just about who you are as a businesswoman, but it's like, wait a second, does this align with how you want your family life to be? Does this align with where you want to be heading in your like emotional and mental health? Like, where we have to find some sense to bring all of those things together so that we can actually achieve that elusive balance that so many people are looking to achieve. And so that's predominantly the work that we do through one-on-one consulting or workshops that we provide or courses and trainings that we have. So that's the largest part of it. And then the other part of it is alongside all of those events and things that we do, we bring together a community of women and we bring together like-minded women who are really there to get to know the person and not just hand out business cards. So if anybody has ever been to one of our events, you know that we don't actually pass out business cards like until the very end. Like when you're meeting somebody, you're conversing with them. And we've shifted the mindset from a lot of, you know, traditional networking groups where it's just like, here's my card, here's my card, here's my card, to, hi, who are you as a person? Because the majority of women really want to know, like, and trust you before they're willing to do business with you. And so that's a model that we've adopted into our events that has worked really well. We've seen a lot of really amazing business partnerships come from that and women working together and hiring each other for different areas in their business. And it's been really amazing to watch the community as a collective grow, all the while helping people build out successful businesses for themselves.
I love this. So this year, we're filming this interview in Q4 of 2020, mm-hmm. and everyone knows what happened in 2020. And what can be projected to be what we will still have to deal with, I would say, at minimum into early part of 2022. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So business leaders have had to make profitable pivots, as I call it. What have you found in the space of what you're working with your clients has been the areas that they've had to make a pivot in order just to really continue to move forward? I mean, I've talked to many different leaders who are finding teams aren't functioning the way that they thought they were, or their mm-hmm. concept or business model is sort of like trying to reinvent Blockbuster, but we're in the Netflix age.
yeah. You know what I mean? That's a great analogy. Yes.
No. VHS tapes are not coming back. So please don't invest in that, right?
Never. Yeah.
So what have you found in your community that you've had to sort of help your community reposition and think differently about how we do business?
It has definitely been a year of largely changing people's minds, because for so long there was just like a denial stage of like, oh, well, next month when things go back to normal, mm-hmm. well, like that's not going to happen. And like you said, like, you know, it's not going to happen for some time. And for me initially, like our business was greatly impacted. We lost 80% of our revenue overnight, like just gone like that. People wow. that were hiring us for consulting, their businesses were closed. And so they were no longer making income, couldn't pay on their contract with us. Any events we had, 42 events planned for the year, were able to do 5 of them at the beginning of the year and had to cancel the rest, right? So it was a massive year for us. And we knew right away that, because, you know, I'd come from the real estate world, I had seen like the market crash, like I had known like that there was no going back, right? There was no, oh, our state's only closed down for 2 weeks. It's like, this is going to have greater impact. Even if our state reopened within 2 weeks, it was going to have greater impact.
Right.
So a lot of it was the mindset shifting of just really having to, like, right away, the first day our state shut down, reached out to everybody that I knew owned a business and was like, here's what you need to know. They're talking about these different resources, right? Like the PPP was like just kind of like a hint and a whisper, like here's some articles about it. Like we need to get informed and we need to become educated and then become empowered in our decisions. Because when we're not and we get stuck in indecision making, that's where our businesses are going to really start to disintegrate, and there it's going to be harder to repair from there. So basically for us in our business model, we shifted to, instead of just focusing on like what businesses were closed, we're like, well, what businesses are open? Mm-hmm. Oh, healthcare actually is like booming in of sorts. And so we went and sought out like, hey, you probably are seeing so many more clients right now. Like, let's help you do that in a more strategic way, right? So we just had to really shift. And so that's kind of the mindset that we shared with our clients is you have to look for the opportunities. You have to see what doors are still open instead of just staring at the shut one.
Yes.
Because that's not how we evolve. Like, we will be closed down if we keep that mentality up and just kind of sit around and act like poor me. A lot of our conversations were kind of like the get your act together, like, come on, you know, like if you want to stay in business and you like, you have to like look at my eyes, like here we're in it, right? Like, come on. Like, I need you to just follow me. I promise that we'll lead you to a good path.
No, but you're right, because you can either be paralyzed by the moment or you can push through in the moment. And yes, we all are going through, you know, everyone goes through a moment of having that you need to really pull yourself up by the bootstraps and not listen to some of the negative news around you, but just say, this is what may be happening in the marketplace, but this is what we're able to do. This is what mm-hmm. we're going to hunker down and do. With what have you found as a major success? I know a lot of companies are talking about pivots and what challenges they have, but what have you found this year that you and your team, if you could just look back and say, you know what, 2020, it is what it was, and we're still looking at what we're going to deal with next year, but what would you say are areas that you celebrate with what you and your team have done this year?
I would say that the biggest thing is just connecting, bringing people together as much as possible in a time where everybody's so isolated. It was our mission day after day, and still is day after day, week after week, where we'll just all hop on the phone and just start sending voice memos out to people. Like, hey, how's it going? Thinking about you, checking in, like just wanting to connect. Connecting, hearing a story over here and saying, hey, can I connect you with this person over here? Because I feel like you guys could get a lot from just knowing each other. Mm-hmm. And kind of going back into the art of, you know, it's matchmaking in a new way. We were doing it at our in-person events, but really are doing it in a more organic way, a more thoughtful way. So that's been a big win and a success, because a lot of people have gained a lot from that. And, you know, we have grown our team this year. Our business surprisingly has done way better than it was even projected to with all of the events that we were going to do. And I think for a lot of people too, like what happened this year really poked a lot of holes at the foundation of my business and other businesses alike. And it at the time was scary.
Yes.
And like, yeah, okay, how is this going to turn out? I don't know, but I know I'm in control of that, right? And really being able to see like, okay, I thought I had a pretty solid foundation, but now we have some cracks. Now, like, you know, we've just kind of gone through this big thing and it's just really highlighted areas that I thought were really strong, but turned out that they weren't. And so that is something that we also still celebrated, even though it was really hard to go through. So connecting people, celebrating the clarity that this year has brought us, and still being able to really refine our mission even further and then go all in on that. Because now more than ever, the women in our community need us. And so we need to make sure that we're there and that we can provide the support and the guidance and just even the listening ear that they need right now.
That's amazing. When you talked about go all in, I think that's the new phrase for those leaders that are deciding, you know what, I took a hit in 2020, but I'm going to go all in for 2021. And even not just thinking by the end of the year, but every month, every quarter, down to every week, what I can do. What would you say, Heather, to a leader that's listening to this? And they may say, you know what, I'm thinking about just calling it quits. I'm thinking about just throwing in the towel, right? Because there's a lot of people who are thinking about that conversation. Those that are fresh out the gate that are new, those that are 5 years, even some, I've talked with colleagues who have clients who are 20 plus years in business with overhead and employees. And they're just like, I don't know if we can take another hit. We saw this in the first 90 days of the shutdown here in the US, major retailers filing for bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. You know, the list goes on and on. What would you say to leaders who are at this moment saying, I love what you guys are saying, but they feel like they've just taken one blow too many?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it is hard to have a positive mindset when you're down in the dirt, right? Like it really is. And so I totally acknowledge that is where so many people are at with their businesses. And it is really, truly challenging. When I have people that come to me and kind of ask a similar question, I ask them like, well, what industry looks super solid to you right now? Like where do you think that like your safety net would be? And a lot of people are like, well, I don't even know. Like, is there an industry that's safe now? And the answer for most people is, I don't think that there is one. And I'm like, okay, well, then you want to make sure that you take control of your life and put your future in your hands, because you know you can trust yourself. And you can't always put that faith in somebody else that's going through the same thing. Big or small, everybody's impacted.
Yeah.
So if, you know, like if you want to go work for the Amazons for that, you know, like whatever, but even still, like they were all impacted, right? Like there has been impact everywhere. If it feels safer, like then maybe that should be something that people go do. Like, you know, I'm not to say that they should like hang in there, but if they're feeling like, you know, I don't know, like you do have it in you to take control of your future and to create a different life for yourself. And maybe you just need to look through a different lens. Maybe you just need some help with somebody, like seeing things that there's, you know, you don't see. There's so many free resources out there in the midst of all of this. There's so many people with disaster relief pricing. And, you know, like there are so many resources of people that are raising their hand and going, I'm really good at this. Like, let me help you.
Yes.
And so I would say to those people that, you know, if you ask yourself that question, like, okay, what feels safe and secure to me right now? And you can't really come up with a list, or you do come up with a list and then you can't really see yourself there, then bet on yourself, go all in on yourself, find some help, ask anybody, like just start going down the list of your social media followers, like just find someone. No one can read each other's minds. We just need to really reach out and lean into community, because there are so many people looking to help. There are so many professors that teach MBA programs at all of these incredible prestigious schools that are teaching for free online right now. Like, you can get the tools that you need to overcome this. You absolutely can. You just have to ask for the help, and you have to believe in yourself and really find kind of that inner, okay, like, you know, I am down here and I can't take another blow, and I'm going to figure out a way to dodge them a little bit better if I can.
No, that's really good, Heather. What do you do personally as a leader? I mean, during this time, we've had to like pivot on a dime as leaders, right? To not just help our teams make sure they stay focused, but you have team members who are people and they're dealing with people who are getting impacted by COVID or not, or trying to find toilet paper, or is the, I don't know about you up there, but like frozen chicken was out for like 4 weeks.
Us too.
Chicken people, come on now. Like, you know, I remember seeing a tweet from someone. He said, I grew up in a third world country during a complete war and we never ran out of toilet paper. Like, what is the problem? Right.
Right. Right.
But as leaders, like, we put ourselves last sometimes with what we need in order to keep moving forward, because, you know, I've had team members who we switched virtually. We switched virtually. Actually, this is to your point of you have to really, you know, listen to yourself. We were thinking about opening up a bigger office space, and I was looking at commercial space in January, which, you know, in downtown LA is just very interesting what they want for space. And I was like, no, not the whole building. Just this one unit. And they said, that is it. So, because they were going through revitalization, and now, I mean, just the commercial space has been impacted, but we decided to go virtual before COVID hit in. And it's those decisions you make as a business leader where you're like, you know, I'm looking back, I'm glad I made that decision. Or when in the midst of it, if you didn't make that type of decision, pivoting on a dime, What do you do as a leader to, I'm just going to say it, keep yourself moving forward, you know?
I had the opportunity and the ability to invest in more people to add to my team.
Nice.
So when I was able to make the initial shift of like, okay, these people are closed, but who's open? My business not only recovered that loss, but like really just opened up a lot of doors. And so the moment that I invested in other people to help me, that gave me so much more clarity and released so much of the burden on my shoulders so that I can make clearer decisions for my business. So that was one thing that I know not everybody is in a place where they can do that. I do know, and I will say that there are a lot of like virtual assistants and a lot of people that do have better rates that you'd be surprised at how affordable some help is. Mm-hmm. And so I just started to find help wherever I could. And I was unapologetic about it because also I'm a mom and my kids are, you know, we're all still home, like trying to do the virtual learning thing. And that in and of itself is like, you know, just like another thing. So I had to be okay with asking for help and finding it wherever I could take it.
Yeah.
Which is challenging and hard. Because it's like, well, what's okay? And then like, especially at first, like we all have to be quarantined and like, ugh, and, but I really sat down and I thought like, okay, what do I need to kind of keep my sanity and made my list. And as I could do those things, started to check them off, just started to do it. And it did free me up, so that I could create more in my business. I did have a clear mind to make decisions and now put us in a position where, you know, we're looking at our projections for next year and we're going to like more than double what we did this year. So it's hard for people to kind of grasp that spending money could result in such a great outcome. But looking at it as an investment was really key for me. And it's, you know, not perfect. I also like just even this last week have had to be reminded by like my partner, like, Heather, you got to get back to making time for yourself. Like you have to make sure that you are taking care of you because you kind of gotten away from that. And you know, like I try to get help in all the areas that I need. And sometimes I forget about like me as a person, even though we coach to the entirety of the female everywhere with everybody else. It's like, oh yeah, but what about Heather Simpson?
Oh, you're so spot on because we do. And I think this goes for men too. Our men, you know, they don't look at it that way. Self-care, like we think of the spa or trying to do an at-home spa as best as we can right now. For them, it may be something different. But as a leader, you need that time away from the desk, away from the laptop, turn the phone off, and you just need time to decompress and whatever that's going to be for you. But this conversation has been so amazing today, Heather. Heather, any closing thoughts you would like to leave with our audience on today?
Yeah, I would say that despite what's happening in the world, stay curious about who you are as a leader. Stay curious about how you can help impact the lives of others and how your business or your position within, you know, just stay curious about how you can kind of think differently and really redefine what that means for you right now. And as long as we still continue to tap into that curiosity, that's what enables innovation. That's what enables us to be able to make those quick shifts and those quick pivots. And is just overall, I think a really great way to live life is to stay curious. So I would recommend that to all the people listening and watching.
Wonderful. Heather, how can our audience get connected with you?
Oh my gosh, we love living on Instagram. So you can follow us at She Leads Me there. And that's our favorite platform. We're also on LinkedIn. And we also have a podcast of our own. It's called the She Leads Me podcast. And LaDawn is actually going to be a featured guest here in the next coming weeks. So we'd love to have you at least pop on over and listen to her episode.
Wonderful. Heather, thank you so much for your time today. You've given us so many gems, and I appreciate you joining us on today. Have an amazing rest of your year and a kick butt 2021.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Before you go, make sure to subscribe to this channel and leave a review. We look forward to hearing your feedback on this episode. Also, are you receiving a copy of the revenue report? Then we invite you to join the Voss community, a private, members-only online area for business leaders. To learn more and to receive your copy of the revenue report, visit vossgroup.org.